Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is in studio with me. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday. And a lot to get to. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Romeo Lankford, Lee, will be in our headlines that we'll talk about in just a moment. This is the kind of stuff that kind of makes you shudder just a little bit when you read this kind of stuff and it hits that close to home. Not only a player that went to IU and obviously played for a year, but obviously is right here in our backyard. But obviously, and I'll let you speak on it here briefly as we kind of preview it, but obviously, we have no idea if Romeo knew, if there were other people involved, if anything happened or not. This is just something that was in the allegations, and you can kind of give a little more on it.
Yeah, and, you know, I've read the articles this morning. Is this totally new, or am I wrong that this something like this popped up months ago, maybe a year or two ago, or is that something totally different?
I think maybe his name was mentioned on something in that initial report that came out from the NCAA, and I call it a report. I'm not sure that's exactly correct, but he has been mentioned. His name was attached to something. There was nothing ever really that became of it. He was one of many players that was listed on the on this particular document of whatever kind it was. I don't know if it was an NCAA document or an actual court document from wiretaps and things like that where his name was mentioned. But, yes, his name in some form or fashion has been mentioned, never with any kind of dollar amounts or any details, but basically some allegations we'll talk about with this Michael Avenatti character that is a crazy guy, no matter what happens with all this, a crazy guy. So I don't think it's anything to get too excited about, but we're going to dive into it here in just a second in our headline segment. Also today, coming up in segment two, we'll be joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex always with us on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. Things still active in this offseason time for Indiana. But, you know, one thing we haven't talked about a lot is Indiana is still looking for an assistant coach with the departure of Ed Schilling. And, you know, there was the thought that, okay, July is here, the coaches are on the road. Really, June with the high school period. June was here, the coaches are getting ready to go on the road. There's other people on the staff that have recruited that have hit the road before. So Indiana's going to bump one of them into that spot temporarily so they can get on the road and become an official part of the coaching staff to see players and evaluate games. Then it was July, some activities there when coaches could be out. And now it's August, and it's the middle of August, and Archie Miller has been back. I'm sure there's plenty of things on his off-season to-do list to get done with this program and this team looking ahead to next season. But you've got to believe at some point we're going to hear something, an announcement of a new coach, something that the assistant coaching vacancy will be hired at Indiana. So we'll talk some about that with Alex Bozich, a little bit of recruiting as well with Alex today, and some things about the 2019-2020 season coming up with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Then later in the program, Brandon Hoffman, the coach of Silver Creek, is with us. And I know we want to think ahead about the upcoming high school basketball season, but we really can't do that just yet, Lee, because football kicks off next Friday, a week from tomorrow, actually. We're a week out from the 2019 high school football season. With that said, Brandon is going to join us to talk about when you talk about recruiting in Indiana, an under underclassmen recruiting. Trey Kaufman is an outstanding prospect. He had a terrific summer. He added a number of scholarship offers. His game continues to grow. His body continues to grow. A lengthy player. He's got all the abilities that you'd want to have, and I don't think there's any question he's going to end up being one of the great players out of Silver Creek, out of Southern Indiana, and there's no telling how high and how widespread his recruiting may go, but Coach Hoffman is going to check in. We'll talk more than Trey Kaufman, but obviously Indiana fans, Louisville fans, lots of local schools in involved with Trey Kaufman at this point, so we're going to talk with Coach Hoffman about that and more a little bit later. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, now our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Couple notes to pass along. First off, I mentioned this yesterday, but just briefly, hats off to Jeffersonville senior Trey Coleman. He had a good summer as well. I often forget he played on the same travel team, the same Indiana elite team as Trey Galloway, also as Anthony Leal. So he knows these guys. When the coaches were there to see those guys, they also, obviously as a byproduct of that, got a chance to see Trey Coleman as well. And Trey's recruiting has really been at the mid-major level. I think at one time under the last Nebraska coaching staff, before Tim Miles was let go, he did have an offer from Nebraska. I know Coach Luce told me that Iowa was calling some back during the Charlie Hughes shootout in the latter part of June. But for the most part, all of his scholarship offers are mid-major offers. And you want to talk about a kid's recruiting that isn't just Indiana schools or local schools. Monmouth was the latest to offer him a Division I scholarship offer. So the guy, I should say Trey, that's going to be a senior, his recruiting is really taken off at the mid-major level. Whenever he's ready to make his decision to pare his list down, Lee, he's going to have a lot of options to choose from. It's a matter of, does he want to stay close to home and play for an in-state program? Does he want to go to an Indiana State and play with some other guys from this area? Or does he want to try something new and something different? He has all of those options on the table. The one thing is with Trey that's going to be interesting, and I mentioned this briefly yesterday with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, does he wait and try to play himself into a higher offer? If Iowa is still interested in calling, if the new Nebraska staff has identified him and is watching him, does he try to play his way into a Big Ten level offer by playing into halfway through maybe his senior year at Jeffersonville, where he's going to have, we know, a big season, and Jeffersonville is going to be really good?
Where do you see him fitting in a position at the either mid-major or D1?
That could be one of the issues with why
it,
he has.
It is for me.
Yeah, why he has.
You know, I know he's a great athlete. I've seen him have great games. But as I try to picture and keep in mind, my knowledge of where people fit in at D1, limited. But it's hard for me to say, well, he'll be right here, he'll be right here. But I think you could put him in a number of spots possibly, depending on the program, the coaching staff, and their style.
Size and height at the Big Ten level, depending on the position that whatever school wants to play him in, could be a problem. At the mid-major level, he's going to be fine. Mid-major player for sure. And if he wants to, if his goal is to play in the Big Ten Conference, and I don't know that it is, or to play high-major basketball, we'll see if he continues to get that kind of interest. Because really quick, when we get to this time of year and Iowa or whoever is interested, maybe doesn't get a player that they're on heavily, he could be the next phone call. So you just never know how things are going to work out. But wanted to note that Trey Kaufman, his recruiting continues to rise. Also, I will be at Huber's on Saturday night in advance of a great annual event in Southern Indiana with the sports community, the IU Southeast Athletics Champions Dinner. It's presented by Republic Bank, and we've got a red carpet show is what we're calling it, from 6 to 7 p.m. as the guests arrive, some of the key guests and some of the athletes that are going to be honored later during the actual Champions Dinner program will be on hand to interview those guests and to create a special atmosphere. All thanks to also the sponsor of our special radio coverage, Republic Bank, for sponsoring that as well. So we're looking forward to being at Huber's. That's always, Lee, a good place to be. Huber's and Joe Glover, Wiley Brown, all the coaches at IU Southeast. It'll be fun to catch up with them and some of the athletes as well in advance of the Champions Dinner on Saturday night. By the way, if you want to support a local athletics program, that's doing big things and trying to get to the next level as well as far as scholarship money and what they can offer prospective student-athletes when they come into the program. The Champions Dinner, it's a great fundraiser. I know they've got tables available still, I believe. Individual tickets, obviously, as well. You can find out more at IU Southeast or IUSAthletics.com is the actual address, IUSAthletics.com. All right, next headline. It's probably the one that is most uncomfortable to talk about as somebody that loves Romeo Langford, like Lee and I both do. But allegations yesterday were discussed in a plan for Nike to pay Zion Williamson at least $35,000 and Romeo Langford $20,000 while they were still in high school. This is Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports. And this is part of the Michael Avenatti charges that he's currently in court for. And, of course, that's a whole nother story and what he did. He went wild on social media, tried to make some threats, tried that he was going to turn people in, shoe companies in, and basically tried to extort money to keep him from going to report some of this stuff. And obviously that backfired on him. He was arrested shortly after he announced or tweeted that he was going to have a press conference to divulge all of this inside information. So there's no proof on any of this stuff. And it's very likely at some point in this underworld of grassroots basketball that Zion Williamson's name has been mentioned hundreds of times with potential deals and what people would like to offer him or his family back when he was a high school player and playing in the grassroots circuit of basketball. And probably to a lesser extent, Romeo Langford as well. Did any of this ever materialize? Was there ever an offer presented to Romeo or his family? At this point, who knows? In fact, Dan Wetzel goes on to write, there is nothing that suggests the deals were made or even presented to the players. But it is something interesting that Romeo Langford's name being tossed around with pretty decent dollar amount, not as much as Zion Williamson, but hey, that's to be expected, I guess. That just shows you whether anything was presented to Zion, Romeo, families or not, coaches or not. Obviously, there's just a whole nother underworld of college basketball and recruiting out there.
You know, and am I correct that Zion was not regarded the top recruit by Duke, wasn't, I can't think of the guy's name, one of the other freshmen on that Duke team.
RJ Barrett.
Yeah. I thought Barrett was thought to be a little better maybe than Zion. I got that wrong.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my question, I guess, is why just those two?
And again, this could just be pieces of a overwhelming report. I don't really think it's something we got to mention because it involves our hometown per se. But obviously, you get a little nervous when you hear stuff like this. But I think it underscores whether anything comes out of this. And I would say the likelihood is that it was never presented to players. There are probably all kinds of deals that have been mentioned, shoe companies, other people involved, AAU coaches, no telling who, that just were deals they were trying to get. And a lot of these guys, I think it sounds like we're getting deals off of players and maybe never really including the player or the family of the player. But anyhow, it's something to follow. And this Avenatti guy, I think I'm saying his last name right, is crazy. So it's going to be interesting to see what all other allegations, if any, come out of this. And again, there were other things in the report that'll make your eyes pop out of your head if even a tenth of it is true. But again, that just reiterates there's some major issues in college basketball recruiting. I know the NCAA and the Rice Commission have addressed some. I'm not sure that they've addressed all the ones that really matter. The changing the live periods in June and July, I'm not sure that accomplished much. But nonetheless, Romeo Langford's name was at least mentioned. We have no idea if any of it's factual, if any of it was ever presented to him or anybody that represents or was with him, but it's obviously something to mention today. Also, week one of high school football, this is my daily reminder, our coverage begins a week from tomorrow. We've got the Kentuckiana football kickoff show that will be every Friday. We'll be previewing at least two games, a Louisville game, a Southern Indiana game, and we'll have coaches on this year. That's kind of our focus, is for the most part to get coaches, even some key players on that program. So we'll be doing that Fridays for you to get the evening set. Week one is a big one. Charlestown Silver Creek, one of the great games in Southern Indiana that we'll be talking a lot more about. And then, of course, our coverage, our roving coverage of sorts, begins around 7 o'clock with kickoffs. We'll have some announcements next week about the games that we'll be focusing on and what our game of the week will be. But we'll have some reporters at different places. Our partnership with the News and Tribune is very helpful this time of year because they have reporters that other games maybe we're not focusing on. They can call in with score updates, highlights, and other reports. So we're going to be all around the area for week one of high school football coming up 1 week from tomorrow, August 23rd, here on the Big X. More coming about it, but it's going to be fun, and we hope that you'll make plans. Even if you're at a game, take your iPhone, take your smartphone device, however you listen, however you stream stuff, and you can listen to the Big X while you're at a game. Heck, send us the score from your game. We'll get some score updates on the air. That'll wrap up the first segment, our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us next. We'll talk IU basketball, the IU assistant coaching vacancy, recruiting, and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins the Hoosier Report on Thursdays. Lee Kelly with me in studio as well. And Alex, obviously lots of chatter and headlines making the rounds through local media right now about Michael Avenatti and his claims that Nike wanted to pay Zion Williamson and Romeo Langford money back when they were still in high school. I know you've seen this. What do you make of it? And is there any reason for IU fans or generally Romeo Langford supporters to be concerned about any of this?
I mean, it's definitely something to talk about in August when there's not a whole lot going on, but in terms of its significance or whether or not there's anything to worry about, for one, if I'm Romeo Langford or anybody associated with him, it's not really even a topic of discussion anymore because he's moved on to the NBA, and this is something that that he would not even probably want to concern himself with. The second thing I would say is there's no indication that anything actually happened here. It's just an assertion that Nike wanted to do something, and that's just an allegation. There's no indication anything happened, and he ended up at an Adidas school. So I think it's obviously something that's interesting, and having those names in there like Zion and Romeo is going to create some discussion. But other than that, I don't really think there's much to discuss or look into for the long term. It seems like the story is never going to die. It just seems like it just continues to go on. There's something, it seems like every couple of months, whether it be the assistant coaches going through the trials and now that stuff like this, it's a story that will never end. But in terms of the impact to Indiana or whether or not Romeo supporters should even care at this point, I would say it's much ado about nothing.
Alex, share with me what Romeo or Zion or any other college player would have been paid a certain amount of money for. Would it be to attend a certain school, to go to definitely a Nike school, or share with me, how this whole thing works?
Yeah, I can't say for sure. I've covered recruiting in AAU for a long time, 12 years now, that you've always heard different things throughout the years, and Matt has probably heard things throughout the years as well, just different, handlers and different programs maybe being more willing to do things to get players to come to their programs. It starts at a young age that these kids have a lot of exposure, and there's a lot of competition to get these guys to play in not only different college programs but different AAU programs, and you hear about things, but you know, I don't know specifically what that would have been for, whether it would have been to, you know, kind of get a leg up to sign a kid when they do turn pro for a, you know, a professional shoe deal, or whether that would have been to attend a school. It's tough for me to say without, you know, knowing how the inner workings and how these specific things work. But, you know, the FBI thing that we're still kind of worried, you know, talking about and still ongoing in terms of the NCAA, that seemed to be with schools, you know, getting money funneled through, you know, the shoe companies to pay kids to go to certain schools. And it kind of seems like this would kind of be a similar thing, but, you know, I can't say for certain on this particular circumstance. But, you know, it's kind of been an elephant in the room for a long time with not just college basketball, but I'm sure college football as well. You have these, there's a lot of things at stake. You know, there's a lot of money that's spent by, you know, TV companies to have the rights to these games. There's a lot of money being paid to coaches to get the best players. And so anytime, and this goes with any business, anytime there's a lot of money involved, it's going to lead to corruption of some kind. And we can argue whether or not, you know, these kids should be paid or not. And I happen to believe that they should be, but as long as it's against the rules, obviously, there's got to be some type of punishment or something handed down for breaking rules. But it's a very complex issue. I think that the problem right now in college sports, at least in college football and college basketball, is the people in charge at the NCAA don't particularly seem interested in fixing the problem. They seem interested in kind of kicking the can down the road, so to speak, and self-preservation for themselves, rather than trying to figure out, you know, a solution that would be fair to everyone. There's been no talk of really paying athletes. There's been no definitive word whether or not, you know, that they would be open to something like letting guys get money for, you know, sponsorships and image and likeness things. It's just been, hey, they're getting a free education, you know, they can't take money. And to me, that's, you know, that's a model that's outdated. You know, everything in life changes as we progress. And, you know, you can't ignore the fact that billions and billions of dollars are being paid to these schools and these coaches. And so there's got to be some type of trickle down to the players. And until that is fixed, I think we're going to continue to talk about these things, because just because the Rice Commission was formed, and just because the NCAA said they're going to do things to cheaters, that doesn't mean people are just going to automatically stop cheating. It's still going to happen.
Alex Bozich inside the hall talking about Romeo Langford, Zion Williamson, Michael Avenatti, his claims in this corrupt recruiting world, according to him. And we know that, obviously, as you said, there are some crazy things that happen and have happened over the years, but a lot of allegations here. And again, this is a dude that's had a battled President Trump. He's been involved in a lot of big PR things, if you ask me. So interesting to see what happens. And again, probably talking a lot more about it than what it may be really worth. But when people mention Romeo Langford in this area, for a long time, we hope beyond today, this is going to be when his name's mentioned, people want to hear about it, people want to talk about it. Alex, let's transition to another subject that I've forgotten about it as I prepare for the show each day, and with our IU experts, as we call them, that join us basically every day on the program and go through off-season topics and different things to bring up and discussion points to talk about. The IU vacancy with the assistant coaching spot of Coach Schilling, it still exists, and the recruiting stuff is over with. The coaches are back in Bloomington, and it's in the middle of August. I've got to believe that Archie Miller must be hard at work trying to figure out what to do with that spot, and maybe some of the candidates, I would assume talking to some of the candidates at this point, or at least doing some legwork to find out who is interested and make some moves, I would think would have to be forthcoming for that spot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I don't want to speculate, but there's been, you know, obviously a couple names that I've heard kind of behind the scenes that they've been interested in and have been linked to, and It's to me, my read of the situation is that it's progressing, and you know, there should be something, I would think, in the next couple of weeks in terms of that. I mean, you've only got now a month and a half until the start of practice, and it'll definitely, I would think, be filled by that point. But there's definitely some names that I've heard that have been linked to the job, and again, I don't want to speculate because these are things that are going on behind the scenes, and you never know kind of what's going to happen. But you know, I think it's fair to characterize it as you did, that Archie Miller's actively looking to fill the spot, is talking to some people, and I think more than anything else, they want to make sure they get the right person in the spot. It's very important from a recruiting perspective. I think as much as we want to talk about player development and other things that the assistant coaches do, you have to land somebody first and foremost that can build connections and recruit. Right now, I think the main thing missing from IU is, you know, they've done a really good job, and I pointed that out after Anthony Leal committed, of kind of locking down the borders of Indiana. You're not going to get every Indiana kid, but they've gotten most of the really good players in the last three recruiting cycles to commit to Indiana. But now they've got to be able to go a little bit outside of this footprint and get players, particularly in a class like 2020, where you've got two pretty good in-state players committed, Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, but they're not your five-star type of kid like a Romeo Langford or a Trace Jackson Davis. So they need to identify a coach that can help them make some inroads outside of the state, outside of the kind of the, I guess, Big Ten area, and land us some more nationally relevant prospects. I'm not saying they have to be getting five-star kids, but at the same time, you've got to be able to go outside of the state. And really, Indiana's success recruiting the last 3 years has been primarily built in-state, and I think you can build a pretty good program doing that, but you also have to be able to go out and hit on a couple of the out-state guys. So I think that's going to be the primary focus with this hire, and I'll be interested to see when they finally do announce the person, kind of what their background is and who they have recruited for in the past and what kind of kids they've landed. And I think you're going to find someone that's had a pretty good track record of recruiting and has been able to go out and get kids previously.
Alex, I won't put you on the spot for names, at least on the air I won't. But any IU connection to any of the names that you are hearing, that there's some mutual interest?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anyone specifically with an IU connection. And the thing about that is that I think every time there's an opening on the IU staff, it's going to be something where people want someone with an IU connection. But I think Archie Miller has done built his staff the right way, in that, you know, he retained Derek Elston, and I think if it made sense for somebody with an IU connection that could do the job and do what they're looking for, they would have no hesitation to do it. But I just don't ever foresee Archie Miller doing something that's really going to be a PR move if the person can't kind of deliver on what the desired outcome is. And I'm not saying that there's not guys that are former IU players or have ties to the program that could do the job well. I just don't necessarily think it's on the list of things that Archie Miller really cares about in terms of bringing somebody in. He wants to get the best person for the job, because let's face it, I mean, he's going into year three. He hadn't made the tournament yet in his first 2 years. Not sure he'll make it this year. We'll see. I mean, I think some people are optimistic, but they got to start winning games sooner rather than later. And how you do that is you kind of bring in the most talent as you can and try to piece it together. I mean, fans are going to be patient to an extent, but ultimately people care about wins and losses. And ultimately, I think the biggest thing that goes into winning games is having the best players possible on your team. I mean, you can coach guys up to an extent, but you want to have the best talent available, and I think that's the thing they're looking for. So, you know, I'm not saying I haven't heard any names that, you know, with an IU connection, but I just don't necessarily think that's all that relevant in the discussion. I think it'd be nice, obviously, if they had somebody with an IU connection, but I think ultimately they're looking for somebody that can help them get players.
Bob Knight's moving back to Bloomington. I say we start the rumor that he's going to be the next assistant coach, Alex. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that Coach Knight could relate on the recruiting field these days. I think he might have some I think he might be easy to negatively recruit against. If you just pulled up the 30 for 30 on Neil Reed and showed that, I don't necessarily think that that's going to be too appealing. But, yeah, I think that's – you know, we talked about this, I think, maybe when this first came out. But Madden, I don't know, Lee, if you want to talk about this too, if you agree with me. But I think it would be a cool thing if he would, you know, show up at a game next season. It seems like the Cold War, so to speak, is maybe falling out a little bit between him and IU. He showed up at that baseball game back in the spring. I think a lot of people were surprised by that. Not that he hadn't been back to IU, but, you know, to publicly do something like that. You know, he'd been in Bloomington prior to that behind the scenes, but never at a public event like that. So to have him there at that baseball game with Bob Hamill, who's obviously the longtime sports writer in Bloomington, one of his closest friends, somebody I think he listens to and respects a lot. I think that was significant. Now he's moving back. It just seems to me like we're moving in the direction of him ultimately coming to a game at some point. And I think it would be great for him because, he's obviously held a grudge for a long time, and understandably so, but there's a lot of people that appreciate the things that he did for Indiana University, not just as basketball coach, but in other areas of life. He helped a lot of people. I think people want to show him their appreciation for that. So to me, I think it's great. I think it's a cool thing. I'm not the biggest, obviously, as you both know, not the biggest fan of Knight, but I do respect what he did as a coach and what he did for the university. So I think it'd be a great moment for him to come back to a game and just get properly recognized for that.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest on this Thursday edition of the program. Couple other things to chat about today before we let you go. Recruiting-wise, Matt Cross, both of these guys up east, Matt Cross and Jordan Geronimo, who has a visit set for later this month, an official visit to Bloomington, some key names that we can kind of, I think, focus in on for now in the 2020 class. Obviously, Caleb Love, and there are some other names that IU is involved in, and there seems to be some mutual interest in with IU as well. But looking ahead to what could be next for this 2020 class, it looks like if a player is going to be added, it could be someone with a Boston area, Massachusetts area connection.
Yeah, those are two. I did a recruiting board update earlier in the week. Those are two names I had at the top of the list. As you know, Cross has already taken an official visit to Bloomington, and I think he's got one or two more official visits coming up here, and then I would expect a decision shortly thereafter. Indiana's been a school that's been consistent with him. They definitely want him. They've pursued him, but he knows that they want him in Bloomington. And, you know, they're right there in the top tier of schools for him. Geronimo's a little different in that he's a late emerging guy. He's not even in the national rankings right now, but was one of the breakout performers in July. I saw him compared, not as a player, but just in terms of his rise and kind of going under the radar compared to OG and Anobi, and as a late riser. I think he's got official visits set up also to, I want to say Georgia's obviously one of the schools. That's interesting thing because of Tom Crean recruiting him, and then I think the other one's maybe Boston College, and then I think Penn State may get an unofficial visit from him as well. So he's interesting. I posted some video of him a couple weeks ago. Haven't seen him in person, but looks to me like a pretty explosive player, that's rapidly improving. So, you know, I don't know that IU would want both of those guys because they're similar in terms of their size and the position that they played. But if they could land one of them, I think they'd be happy to add to what's already a pretty solid foundation in this recruiting class with Anthony Leland and Trey Galloway both committed.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, always with us Thursdays on the program. Don't forget, we're going to talk to Trey Kaufman's coach, Brandon Hoffman, coming up in the next segment. But Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next Thursday, and plenty of stuff even in the off season to talk about. So we'll continue on with you next week.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
All right, Alex Bozich, Inside the Hull. You can find out more about Alex and some of his coverage, free coverage of IU basketball at InsideTheHull.com and at InsideTheHull on Twitter. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek is next. Lots of talk about Trey Kaufman, his big-time player that is seeing all sorts of scholarship offers come in, including a recent offer from Louisville to go along with IU and Purdue. We'll talk about that and more coming up next with Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Final segment on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly is with me, and on the phone is Brandon Hoffman. He's the coach at Silver Creek and, of course, the coach of IU recruiting target Trey Kaufman, who had absolutely a fantastic summer going back to some days with Silver Creek in June and, of course, with his AAU travel team in July. And since that point, even more scholarship offers have come in for Trey as his recruiting continues to expand. Coach Hoffman, it's got to be a good time of year for you. Yeah, you're back in school, but you're able to see a young man that you've watched since a very young age not only get offered by Indiana and Purdue, but now that he's kind of become a known commodity in the underclassmen ranks of Indiana class of 2021, his recruiting is beginning to expand. He's got some other scholarship offers with a whole bunch of schools interested in his recruiting. Like his game, is really beginning to take shape.
Oh, yeah, Matt. First of all, thanks for having me on here. Always glad to do it. You know, in terms of Trey, I mean, I've known him since he was born, and to see him grow up to the basketball player and also the young man that he is, it's, man, it's just so proud of that and so fortunate to be his coach.
Brandon Hoffman, Silver Creek, our guest. I guess there was probably a shock factor maybe that Trey, his family, even you as the high school coach, goes through when that first big Division I offer happens. And that came obviously a little bit ago with Indiana, Purdue, and some others jumping on him pretty early. Since then, Xavier, Cincinnati, even Louisville most recently jumping in with a scholarship offer in addition to some other mid-major schools that may have offered him even before any of these schools. But that said, now that you're watching this list grow and grow and grow as his coach, what's the feeling?
Well, just fortunate. I mean, you know, it's not like Silver Creek pumps out Division I recruits all the time in basketball. You know, we got Trey along with Cooper as well. But, I mean, just it's exciting for me personally to get to talk to, you know, to major college coaches and, you know, probably even more exciting just for Trey because I know all the work he puts in and how committed he is. And you mentioned that, you know, he's got some major, major basketball programs with IU, Purdue, and U of L and some other good programs as well. And I think that's just the tip of the iceberg is how much attention he's going to get from here on out.
Coach, you said you've known him since he was born. Was there any one point or any particular segment of time that you watched him play and you thought this might be a young man that would end up with a bunch of Division I honors?
Well, just growing up, I mean, as a coach, you know, we have a really good feeder system here. And, you know, Trey's always been one of the best players on that 2021 class we have that has, you know, been super successful, probably more successful, you know, in elementary and high and middle school and high school than we've had. And, you know, I think maybe the key turning point for him may have been his freshman year. You know, he broke his hand early, didn't get to play much the first half of the year. And then, you know, we went up and played New Albany at Bankers Life his freshman year. And he played really well against, you know, the best player in the state, Romeo, and that team was incredible. And we competed really well. And, you know, just seeing Trey be able to compete and, you know, and hold his own that night just showed a lot of promise of what he could be.
talking with Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman, starting our conversation today talking about Trey Kaufman, who obviously holds an IU scholarship offer and is a big target in the class of 2021 for Archie Miller and the Hoosiers. I don't want to put you on the spot as far as what the coaches specifically are saying, but when you talk with some of these high major head coaches and assistant coaches that call you to get the latest on Trey and stop by open gyms and things like that, which will happen soon in the fall time, what are some of the constant things you hear from those coaches that they like about Trey Kaufman and reasons that even as a young player, even last high school season, that they jumped in on him and wanted to offer a scholarship fairly early in the process?
Just his overall skill set, Matt. I would say, you know, he's improved his shot quite a bit. He's, you know, he's one of our best, if not 3-point shooters now. And but then along with his shooting, his passing ability, I thought, has always been one of his highest attributes. And another thing that really special players have, it seems, is their poise on the court, to where he never gets rushed. There's not a moment too big for him. You know, you can remember watching Romeo, and sometimes those guys, you know, people would say, well, it doesn't look like he's trying that hard, but he's really, really efficient. And those players, it just seems like the game just goes at a different pace for them. And Trey has a little bit of that in him.
Coach, we've all seen players that have a great start to their high school career or their AAU career, and then they seem to reach a plateau and kind of level out at that. You've mentioned that he didn't play the first part of his freshman year and how much he improved his sophomore year and how much he improved this summer. Is this a young man that the sky's the limit, or whatever cliche we might use this morning, but he is just going to continue to add things to his game, in your opinion?
Yeah. I mean, Lee, you guys will hardly recognize, you know, how big he is now compared to even, you know, when you last saw him in March in Bankers Life to where he is now. I mean, he is a lot bigger. He's really filled out his body quite a bit. So he's constantly working on his body. And I have no concern on him plateauing because, A, he's going to keep growing, I think, and B, he almost takes it personal when someone tells him he needs to work on something. He just becomes focused on it and passionate about fixing what may be his weakness, what he needs to work on. So he's always trying to find ways to improve. I'm always, with him in the gym, or he's always trying to get in the gym or with somebody else or get in the weight room. You know, he definitely works at his craft, so there's no question he's going to get a lot better, you know, every year.
You know, it's interesting, Coach Hoffman, and you can recall, I'm sure, just in your years at Silver Creek as a player, as a JV coach, and now, of course, as the varsity coach, you can think back to players that put in the extra work, and there are probably on one hand 4 or 5 players at most that stand out to you in your time at Silver Creek that you really felt like put in extra work above and beyond others. And I get the sense from you and from others that know Trey and are involved with Trey that he maybe has a trait like what a Romeo Langford has, where Jim Shannon could not run him out of the gym. He always wanted to work on something, ball handling, shooting, moves, whatever it may be. I hear very similar things when I talk to you and others about Trey Kaufman, that he truly is a gym rat. And even though it's the middle of August right now and he played a whole summer with his travel team and you guys were very active in June, and of course the season's coming up not too far down the line with preseason practices and open gyms, but I've got a feeling that he's in there on a regular basis, probably with some of your other key players, working on what he thinks maybe are some weaknesses. But really, he has a reputation, even as a young guy, I guess generally, of just being a gym rat.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, it's just it takes what it takes to be a great athlete. A lot of guys like to say they're going to be that, you got to put the work in. You know, I remember, a couple of years ago, we had a player, Cam Stevens, who's running at U of L. And kind of same thing. They don't just talk the talk. They walk the walk. They're in the gym every day. You know, Trey gets up at 6 in the morning and works out. Then works out after school. You know, Cam was kind of the same way when he was running. He's getting 6 miles in before school. Like, it takes what it takes to be a great and be a champion. And when you get athletes that have that kind of work ethic and mindset, it's really special.
Coach Hoffman, I know you are well aware of this. It's already happened to a great degree, but not only with Trey, but with Cooper as well. Are you ready for fall practices, which are now allowed by the IHSA coming up here very soon, as well as open gyms and other things you might have? Are you ready for a gym full of Division I coaches, whether it's morning workouts or after-school practices or whatever it may be? There are going to be a long line of college coaching visitors to Sellersburg this fall.
Man, that's a rough problem to have, isn't it? That's really special. I mean, I pinch myself not only that, you know, we're defending state champions, but I got great kids like Trey and Coop and even other guys, the other guys on our team that are, they're a lot of fun to coach. And, you know, to have that opportunity to have colleges come into our workouts, I mean, geez, you know, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that was happening. And here we are, and it's all credit to the players we got. And, you know, we got a lot of teachers and a lot of other, you know, coaches of different sports asking when our open gyms are. I don't think it's to hang out with me. I think it's to walk through and, you know, see what guests we have coming in.
Absolutely.
Coach, is that Silver Creek gym still not air-conditioned?
Gary, that's a great question. I'm actually currently sitting in the gym. It's about a cool 95 degrees.
When you say kids are in there working all the time, I've been in that gym this time of year and in the summer. That's not an easy place to work out when it's August or July. So those kids are dedicated.
Hey, it's like the old Boston Garden. We use it to our advantage. But we're getting the rumor is we're getting air conditioning in October. But, you know, regardless, our kids will be in there working out regardless. So,
yeah, gotcha.
Hot or cold.
Coach Hoffman, Silver Creek, our guest. Hey, you win a state championship, air condition soon follows. That's a great trend. Let me ask you while we have you about Cooper Jacoby, another great player. We had Cooper, and we've had Trey with us on the program as well. Cooper's getting a lot of interest. He's got some Division I attention as well, and he's another one of those gym rats. I'm sure him and Trey in there working hard almost at every opportunity that they possibly can be. What's his recruiting look like right now? Have there been any new contacts there? And tell us a little bit about him here in the off season as he gets ready to start practices coming up before too long.
Yeah, in the spring in March, Cooper got his first offer from Indiana State. And then after that, man, he really blew up this summer. Now, I may be forgetting a couple schools, but you know, Miami of Ohio offered, and yes, I mentioned Indiana State, Bellarmine, IUPUI, Liberty, Belmont, Toledo have scheduled to come watch us work out. And so we've got, he went up to an elite camp at Butler this Sunday. he's going to have a really, really nice selection of schools to choose from, too. And like I said, all the credit goes to him. He deserves all the attention he gets, too.
Great stuff. Great stuff on Trey Kaufman and also Cooper Jacoby as well. Coach, I'm glad it's high school football season. You guys open in a big way there at Creek with the battle of 403 between Creek and Charlestown. But, boy, I'm wishing for high school basketball season, and one of those reasons is some of the players in your team that we've been talking about today. I know we'll continue to chat and keep abreast on everything. Appreciate the time today and look forward to continuing our conversations about these two young men you have and also your entire team, which is set for a big year also.
Hey, like I said, always a pleasure to talk to you, Matt, and probably even better opportunity to talk to Lee. I love that dude.
Absolutely.
So, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek with us. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. My thanks to Lee Kelly, who always sits in with me on Thursday to make the hour a little easier. And we didn't fit this in at the top of the show with our headlines, but the Little League World Series is here. Unfortunately, we don't have a local team, even an Indiana team that has made the World Series this year. But that is always fun. That's something to keep on in the background.
Yeah, starts at 1 o'clock today, 4 games every day for the next 10 days.
Wow.
Leading up to the semifinals and finals. So fun time.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly, thank you. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock for the Hoosier Report. Don't forget you can find us as a podcast as well. We're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, all sorts of ways you can keep up with the latest here in Southern Indiana and with the Hoosiers. I'll be back with you Friday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.